What I would share with you, I declare in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the first day, the first Sunday, rather, of that 40-long season in the life of the church that we call Lent. A season when we think about the life of Jesus in his last days as he journeyed toward the cross. The gospel lesson this morning tells the story of Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness and of the temptations he endured. There is, however, one detail in the story, at least as Mark tells it, that has to make you wonder. After Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan River, Mark says, "And the Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan." What are we supposed to think of this? "We who pray as Jesus taught us, lead us not into temptation." We like to talk about being led by the Spirit as though it were some kind of mushy invitation. So what are we to think then about the Spirit of God driving Jesus into the wilderness, or as some translations put it, compelling him to go? It's quite a contrast to the image of the Spirit we read about just a couple of verses earlier in Mark's story. The Spirit that descended upon Jesus like a dove. The voice that spoke to him from heaven saying, "You are my own dear son, my beloved. I am pleased with you." Think about that for a moment, if you will. The Spirit descends with blessings, and then immediately, as Mark says, drives the one who was so blessed out into the wilderness, into a barren place, a dangerous place, a place where he allows him to be tempted, tested, put at risk. Now, I suspect a lot of us see a lot of the world that way, as a place of extreme opposites, filled with good and bad, righteous and evil, safe places and scary places. A lot of us see life that way as well. A journey filled with high moments and good times, God-given, God-filled times and moments like at Jesus' baptism and the scene on the mountain of Jesus' transfiguration, times when the presence of God feels to us real, tangible, convincing, assuring. We've known times such as those. And then there are other times, times that are more like wilderness experiences, times when we feel alone, lost, surrounded by dangers, assaulted by temptations. Sometimes it's the temptation to give in and take the easy way out, or to just plain give up. Moments that are bad, moments when the presence of God is not in the experience at all. Moments when we wonder. In those other times when we have experienced the presence of God, whether those times were just a dream, the feelings just figments of our imagination. The reality, it seems, is that both times, both kinds of times and moments and experiences are very much a part of life. And the good news is God is present with us through them all, whether or not we are aware of that presence or not. The journey of Jesus in this story from Mark's gospel is much like our own journey in a lot of ways. It progresses through certain stages, growing to maturity, being called to do the work that God wants us to do, and being equipped for that work. And then the wilderness, the time for testing of our skills, our faith, our trust, followed, we pray, by a time of truly being able to serve God and truly being effective in what we do in God's name. Now, we need to be clear that when Mark talks about Jesus being driven by the Spirit into the wilderness, it doesn't mean Jesus went there against his own will, that the Spirit pushed him or dragged him, kicking and screaming, into that barren place. Rather, that's simply Mark's way of stressing the urgency that compelled Jesus to then enter and embrace the wilderness time that was before him. I wonder if the reason why Jesus was willing to be Spirit-driven was because of his willingness to enter into the wilderness experience. I wonder, is it because of the closeness of his experiences with God, the clarity of his vision of God's reign that helped him to see the necessity of that coming time, the time of preparation in the wilderness place, a time to strengthen his determination to embrace that experience willingly, knowing that later there would come a time in his life to endure his trial and the cross. The journey of Jesus into the wilderness and then out of it again, out to perform in the world the work that God called him to do, seems to have the quality of a confident direction that our journeys sometimes lack. Perhaps his knowing the reason and purpose behind his wilderness experience enabled him to embrace it and endure it. Certainly, we know from our life experience that it helps to be prepared to enter the outdoor wilderness. Any of you that are campers or hikers or backpackers or backcountry skiers, it helps if we've learned the knowledge, possess the skills, and carry the equipment we need to survive in those kinds of places. For Jesus, as he faced the wilderness time on his spiritual journey, his knowledge of the sacred stories that he learned as a youth, the assurance of the presence and companionship of that same Spirit, the Spirit that drove him into the wilderness, those were the resources that he needed to survive and even thrive in that wilderness time. So friends, it's probably most helpful for us to know that what it is to make the wilderness experience of itself in order to be better prepared when we enter those seasons in our lives. What do we make of that wilderness experience? Well, wilderness times in our lives are most often experienced by us as desperate times, times when we feel most alone, most lost, most disoriented, without a sense of purpose or direction, without the resources we feel we need to survive. Mark tells us that when Jesus was led or driven into the wilderness, he wasn't simply taken there, dumped, and left to fend for himself. The Spirit made him go, but did not abandon him there. Mark tells us that angels ministered there to him. Amid the wild animals and all of that which posed a threat to him, he received protection and provision. He survived because he was not alone. What's more, the time he spent there was not without meaning. Mark says that immediately following his return from the wilderness, Jesus began to travel through Galilee, preaching, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, the need for people to embrace that coming and to repent. So the time in the desert was not without purpose. It was a time of preparation, a time of being made ready for the work that God had for him to do. Well, as it was with the journey of Jesus, so it is with the journey for each of us. Our journey, sooner or later, and sometimes often, takes us to barren wilderness, desert places as well. But the wilderness, that place or sense of being alone, the solitude that that aloneness affords, the hardship that often accompanies it, all of that is actually an opportunity, a blessing from the Spirit of God. It's a time and a place where we can be tested, a time where we can grow into the maturity that's required of us so that we can indeed face the world in both good times and in bad and do there those things that God would have us do. It's safe to say that Jesus matures in the wilderness. He listens to his inner voice. He connects the blessings of the past with his need to rely upon God and God alone for the day at hand and for the days ahead. He comes to understand who God has called him to be and what is required of him. Only after Jesus has gone through all of this is he able to move back out into the world and be fully ready to serve. It was in the loneliness of the wilderness that Jesus discovers his own experience, and in that experience that he was not alone, that God goes with him, that angels care for him, that with the aid of God's providence and power and the promises of Scripture, he can survive and, in fact, prosper, no matter what the situation. The journey of Jesus is indeed like our journey, friends. But it's also true that our journey is like that of Jesus' own. How often have we had experiences like that? How often have we experienced the fullness of the Spirit such that with confidence we're determined to go forward with commitment and serve God? How often have we gotten pumped up, ready to take on the world after a special experience of God, a special blessing, if you will? And then the difficult times begin. The time of testing comes, almost as surely as if we're being driven into it. And its coming was inescapable. Well, the reality is that we, like Jesus, are tested whenever we really try to serve God, to use our God-given gifts and abilities. It may not happen immediately, although it often does. But despite appearances to the contrary, friends, when that time of testing comes, it actually is a blessing, or it can be, if we let it be so. I know that's a tough sell, but that's the reality that God has laid before us. When that time of testing comes, if we let God's angels minister to us as they ministered to Jesus, if we hold on to the faith that we profess and exercise it in the circumstances that come upon us, just as did Jesus, it can be a time of triumph, of growth, of renewed confidence, of affirmation, a time that we are truly aware of the will and the way of God, a time when we are truly in the way and the will of God. I'd like to close with a piece I came across years ago called The Testimony or the Humble Prayer of a Confederate Soldier. It's a declaration or a statement which came out of the period of the Great Civil War in the United States. And its author is identified only as an unknown Confederate soldier. But it seems appropriate, friends, in the light of what we're talking about this morning, because of how it describes what God can accomplish in us and through us in our wilderness experiences, through our times of testing. Thank you. It goes like this. I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I had hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed. May it be so in your life and mine, to the glory of God. Amen.